Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 28th day of May, 2010. Corn melted down on Friday. We'll try to find out why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Paul Nelson. He's the president of eHedger in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today in studio include Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. And Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's start with this question for the day. Friday was ugly in Chicago in the corn pit. There was a 14-cent loss. It wasn't quite that bad on the week, but most of the losses came on that day. What happened?
Well, I think several factors. One, we had come back up from lows. We've still not been able to push through the top, through the mid-90s and stay. And end of the month, end of the week, profit-taking, plus all the financial mess of Europe, everything pushing downward, plus China canceled some corn loads.
Chuck?
Things are extremely volatile. It's a three-day weekend in our country, but other folks in the world will be going on. So I think that's the biggest, take the money off the table, start all over next week and see what's going on.
We started with Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities. Chuck Shelby, you just heard, is with Risk Management. Greg Johnson of the Andersons.
Yeah, I agree with both the previous comments. We're still in that trading range, and it's too early to really talk about weather. Some of the long-range forecasts are talking about warm and dry, but for the next 2 weeks, that's exactly what we want is warm and dry. We don't want 2 months of warm and dry, but 2 weeks of warm and dry is just what the doctor ordered. And then with some of the ratings agencies downgrading the debt of Portugal and Spain, that pressured the outside markets, which pressured the commodities.
In the corn pit this week, July had a high of $3.73¾. It's low at $3.58¼, was a dime lower. Or rather, on the settlement price for week to week was a dime lower at $3.59. In December, a $3.80 settlement price week to week was off 5¼. That trade on Friday was really ugly, and it dropped through the 100 and the 50-day moving averages. It's a long weekend. What will it mean on Tuesday when we resume trade?
I think at this point, I'd say come Tuesday, we're going to have a higher opening. I think, again, that you're close to the lower end of the ranges. Sometimes we'll dip down to those 50 and 100s and drop right below there. I think there's still support there, and I think there's reasons to see the market, see a stage of rally next week.
Reasons like what?
Well, I think you got to look at the long-term demand from China. Obviously, you know, when they came into the buying business, that changed the attitude of the market. And I think, again, when we look at the need and the demand out there as we go forward, it's going to be pretty big. I think the other thing is we still, the crops got off to a pretty good start in a lot of places, but there's some issues in some states. I know over in Indiana today I spent my day replanting corn. Southern Illinois, Indiana are still struggling to get in. So as we go forward, I think it's a time of the year that we can see some things to get a rally coming back.
And the folks in Minnesota say they need a rain. I want to come back to something you mentioned. He discussed China just a bit as a positive, but you said we lost a couple of shiploads on Friday.
trading based on news and rumors out of China is a sure way to go broke. nobody knows for sure. Yeah, I think it is positive long term that they are looking to buy corn. The people seem to, that think they know seem to think that they overstated last year's crop. And China is off to a cold, wet start this year. A week ago, they only had half their corn planted, and normally they're done by this point in time. So they're basically in the same boat we were last year. Now, we turned out all right, and maybe they'll turn out all right, but I think the government may want to buy a little bit of corn just as a hedge, just as a buffer, just in case things don't turn out well 2 years in a row.
And I want to poll all three of you. Are you feeling better today about the corn market than maybe you did a month ago? Pete Manhart.
Well, if you look at the last month, we had a 67 low in December and a 99 high, but 95 stopped it. We get up to that mid-90s, we go right back down. I think we'll hold again. I feel like we're still in that trading range. We haven't made the crop yet. We have great usage. So we need a new big crop, and if there's any problem, we could shoot her higher.
Feeling better about the marketplace?
Yeah, I started feeling better when China started looking into the market, and I think, again, as we as producers, when you're looking places to sell, you look for places that you can make money on your farm. When you go down to places where you're not really making that much money, you kind of ignore that and wait for better days. So, yeah, I'm feeling better about corn.
Can you make money at this level?
I'd rather be $4 is kind of our goal for our producers. $4 cash price is our goal. And we recommended to guys not to sell, you know, below $4.
Greg?
Yeah, I'm friendly, too. I think we haven't taken out our lows, and the fact that the corn market held in relatively well, especially up until Friday, in the face of all the negative outside news, I think that's a pretty good sign.
And before we get to the soybeans, we ought to take up the wheat. A loss of 14 and a quarter this week in the nearby July. Had a high of 76, a low at 456 and a quarter. Week-to-week loss, 14 and a quarter at $4.57 and three quarters. That for the harvest month this year. Next year at 567 and a half, it was down 12 and three quarters. Most guys simply harvest wheat and they put it across the scale and they sell it. Is there anything else to do with it besides that?
Well, you can wait for the basis to get better. If you see a good futures price, you can lock that in. Since so little wheat was planted in Illinois, I think you'll see basis levels. I know here in Champaign we were 70 to 80 under about 3 months ago, and now we're 35 under, and it'll probably continue to get better just because of that. So basis levels will get better, but futures are anybody's guess.
I had an interesting call this week to buy cash wheat at even money to the July futures. And there were some other programs they were offering. So soft red supply is down, the quantity's down. So that's encouraging to see.
I think with harvest coming, the only thing that wheat's got going is the better basis. There's plenty of it available in the world. It's grown everywhere. So I don't see it going anywhere to the upside. And as harvest proceeds, I see it going on down. Just the basis will be better.
When you talk to producers across the Midwest, and maybe you can give us a quick view of corn from your clientele, and then move us into soybeans as well.
As far as where producers are at?
What the crop looks like in the ground at this point.
In general, Illinois is pretty good, but you go west of Springfield, you go west of the Illinois River and places, there's a lot of replanting needed to be done where they got 4 to 5 inch gully washers in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And bean-wise, I've still got people that are only half planted in some of those same areas. As you go north, some of the people didn't plant early because of worried about cold weather, so there's a lot of bean planting to go ahead in north. In general, this heat of the last week has made corn look a lot better everywhere except where the water has created problems for replanting.
We work with a producer in Michigan, and his crop, they got in early. It was pretty dry. It got cool, but being dry and cool was pretty good, and they've got some timely rains. The Indiana-Illinois guys, again, southern Illinois, Indiana, are struggling down there to get done. We've also seen some replant issues in parts of Illinois and Indiana. As you go west towards Iowa, they seem to be pretty pleased with what's going on, and the Dakota guys seem to have got their crop pretty much completed too. So it's fairly good, but not perfect.
Do we think that the Dakotas will lose many corn acres this year just because they had I think they had a lot of corn acres left. Well, I know they had a lot of corn acres left this year that were from last year, so they were kind of late. You think that's really the case? We're going to lose a number of acres up there?
I think we will. The problem is, does the government acknowledge that in the June 30th acreage report, or does it take until November again before we get the final number? And by then, it's obviously too late because we'll know what the rest of the crop made.
All right, soybeans now. July contract at 9.56 top, bottom at 27.5. Settlement price down 3.25 week over week at $9.37.75. And the Novies or the Novembers, the harvest month at $9.07.75, up a quarter of a cent on the week. Awful close to $9. Will they push through it, do you think?
They could temporarily, but I think with the whole growing season ahead of us and the demand in the old crop, I think that will, you know, give some kind of support to the new crop beans.
Bull spreads have been working pretty well, but we just don't want November beans to go and close under $9. Again, we're at the lower end of the range here. You know, we could see some kind of bounce, but led by old crop.
Do you follow the same perspective on the beans that you do on the corn if you can make money on it?
Absolutely, Todd.
And what's the number you have then?
Well, I just don't think you don't want it to go under $9, you know, and we've been trying to get $9-plus cash beans all along, and some have got better than that, up to $9.50 at times.
We've tried the lows a couple times. About 6 weeks ago, we went under $9. What did we go? This week, we went to $8.93 one day, but we never closed there, and then we went right back up to $9.20. So there's still great usage on beans. I think the big problem for this fall is if we have a big bean crop or a good one, we will still have in South America, because they're too big any bigger, still shipping beans while we're harvesting beans, and that's when we're going to have the big push down.
That's where I was going to go next, is we have South America. And I said, did I read that the South American, somebody thought that South American bean producers were pretty tight holders at this point of soybeans, and is that going to cause a problem as we get later in the year? It would seem like there'd be an awful lot of beans coming into the marketplace at one time, just about, well, when we do our harvest here. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. If you look at the days when the Brazilian real goes down in value, the farmer selling down there picks up, which makes sense. So I think there is plenty of beans to be sold down there. And as Pete said, you know, China kept buying from us for whatever reasons, you know, and we kind of stole from them, and they may be stealing back from us this October, November.
Maybe I should pull you all on the beans, too. You were all feeling better about the corn market. How about the bean market? Have you changed attitude at all on it?
We're at the lower end of the range, so, you know, we can gain 25, 30 cents, but that's a good time to sell beans then.
I think there's reasons, again, we can bounce here, but I think the long-term picture would be where I'd be concerned about.
Anytime we have a bounce like we did this week with November's up to 920 above, and July's over 950, we're selling the heck out of them or putting protecting them with puts or hedges.
Can we come back to the outside markets just a bit? The price of crude oil is off pretty substantially. Are you feeling better about that in the marketplace, or does that worry you with demand for ethanol and corn?
I think the crude oil has been a lot tied to the political stuff in Europe. We were at $86. The next thing you knew, with less than 10 days later, we were at $68. And I think a lot of it had more to do with the financial mess of Europe and the attitude that the world is not recovering more than it does with what we've got for crude oil and where it's supposed to go.
I think the thing to look at these markets is when they drop back, I mean, $70 crude's still pretty high, you know, and it's like $9 beans. So we've got some things behind us here that are helping, and maybe it's inflation factors that are keeping it up here. But I think the Gulf oil spill is going to be a positive for ethanol. I mean, if you spill ethanol, you can drink it. If it falls, you know, that I think that's a positive for the ethanol market.
I think the crude oil price really is an indicator of traders' confidence in trading. When people get nervous, they tend to put their money under the mattress or buy T-bills and T-bonds. They don't trade. They take their money out of commodities. So I think oil prices are reflective of that. And from that standpoint, I just as soon see oil prices go higher, because that means traders are more willing to buy all commodities, corn and beans included.
What does the ethanol side of the Anderson say about the marketplace?
It says you should have been in 4 to 5 years ago. That's when you made a lot of money. Ever since then, margins are swing higher for a while, and then they come back to, you know, almost break even, and then they work a little bit higher, and then they break even. So, you know, ethanol is not a business to get in now, but if you're already in, hopefully you can cover your variable costs.
Has anybody heard much about what the thoughts are from US EPA on the blend wall, or the 10% going to 12 or 15% on the blend? And on how EPA might deal with ethanol in other ways. Will they actually raise that up, you think? And does the oil spill in the Gulf mean they'll consider it more fully?
I think it's, you know, they've greased the skids for this to pass. They've done all the research and they've issued the reports that said it doesn't hurt the automobile engine. So, we've heard all along mid-June. So knowing the government, maybe it's mid-July, but I think we'll hear approval of the increase in the blend sometime this summer.
I think the oil spill changed the game enough that you see the politicians and the people that are living through this that, anything that can help, again, is going to get some positive outlook, and I think that's what the oil spill does.
I think if you looked a month and 2 months ago, people were afraid to talk about it. At least now they're talking about it, and I think it will go through. And that's another thing on corn that's helping. If we go up 12 to 12.5%, that takes another billion bushels away. If you go to 15, that's 2 billion of usage, and that would be tremendous for corn prices. I just don't know how soon that will happen.
In Chicago, the livestock settled like this. June live cattle at 90.52 and a half, down 85 cents. August feeders, $1.72 and a half lower at 108.42 and a half. And the June lean hog futures at 81.85, 40 cents higher. Very quickly, anything that the cattle producer ought to be doing?
On recoveries back up, we saw a lot of fun liquidation in livestock. On recoveries back up, you want to be a hedger again.
We'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Paul Nelson of eHedger.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist here at the Illinois State Water Survey within the Institute of Natural Resource Sustainability on the campus of the University of Illinois. Overall, this week was a warm one with temperatures 8.1 degrees above normal. Statewide average rainfall was 1.1 inches, which is pretty much normal for this time of year. Some areas were hit hard by slow-moving thunderstorms, however. One such area was Springfield on the afternoon of May 26, when they got up to 4.6 inches of rain in less than 2 hours. So far, the month of May is shaping up to be near normal on temperatures and above normal on rainfall. The statewide average temperature is 62.6 degrees, which is a half a degree above normal. Statewide average rainfall is 5.5 inches, 1.7 inches above normal. According to the National Weather Service, Illinois will finish out May with pretty nice weather. Saturday and Sunday will be warm with highs in the mid-80s. By Memorial Day, it will be a little cooler and cloudier with a slight chance of thunderstorms throughout the day. The rest of next week will be near normal with highs in the 80s and lows around 60. The 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecast call for an increased chances of below normal temperatures with near to above normal precipitation. The outlook for this summer, June through August, is for an increased chance of below normal temperatures with rainfall expected to be near normal. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm state climatologist Jim Angel.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 28th day of May, 2010. Our panelists in studio include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana. Our guest today is Paul Nelson. He's the president of eHedger in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Nelson. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks, Todd. It's great to be along with you guys.
And I'd like to know, on new crop corn sales, where you have folks in eHedger at this point?
Oh, we're sitting fairly well protected. Most of our sales are sitting, we're sitting at about 55% sold or protected on new crop. And on this last break, we pulled in. We bought back some of our protected bushels, which, you know, as the rest of the guys have talked about, we're, you know, we still have a lot of growing left to go. We've finally put some demand back in the corn market via exports, ethanol, and the feeding sector is back profitable again. So those are all positive signs for the corn side of things.
You may not have any clients that still have old crop corn left to sell, but here in central Illinois, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we do. What would be your advice for people that still are holding on to old crop corn?
I guess on old crop corn, I guess mostly concerned about the basis weakening as we get to the tail end of the summer. So possibly look to price your basis and leave your open, sell some July calls and leave your flat price open.
When we look ahead to the upcoming acreage report, do you think that'll be a factor at all? Do you think there's going to be anything that's going to shift maybe the mentality away or to towards corn?
I don't. At this point, I think the main factor will be the weather as we get through the month of June, so I don't think the acreage report will carry the weight that it did last year, particularly the way that we've got the 6 to 10 day came out today. It's got pretty much below normal temps and average precip. And, so that puts us the first part of June, and, that's not a bad thing to have at this point.
Peter, Paul, what's your take on the China buying? How much more are they going to buy? Have any idea? Does anybody have a clue? But it sure helped the markets.
No, we don't have a strong sense. I mean, I wish we had that crystal ball. It would be a great advantage for us all. But the fact that they've stepped in and they started buying, I think is a real strong indicator. They generally kind of move in a trending event. To buy one or two loads just doesn't necessarily kind of fall into their characteristics. They're also exceptionally good traders, so they tend to put out negative information when prices start to move higher, and then they tend to kind of sneak around when things. When things get cheap again, and I guess that's part of what we're looking at here is we're at the, we're back again at, the lower end of the corn range. And so I think we're hopeful that we're, that we'll hold down here, particularly since we've got, another 3 or 4 weeks before we start to pollinate.
Paul, I've got a question and then a follow-up. What does your clientele base look like in terms of end users, producers? Which do you have more of, and who do you service more often?
We primarily focus on the end, on producers. I would say, central, basically, mostly corn and soybean growers.
Okay.
Core customers, Nebraska to Ohio.
So when you're making your calls to them today or when they were calling you today, what kinds of questions were you answering and what were you talking to them about?
Well, our biggest concern was the fact that the corn market started to take a big hit today, and as you guys have talked about, it was our feeling was that most of the selling was associated to, oddly enough, some of the asset funds, the long side of the market. They've taken a hit with the equities breaking as hard as they have. So there does seem to be some rebalancing in those long funds. And most notably, it seemed to kind of drift into the corn market and the cattle market. So a lot of the questions today were centered on, with the corn being down as much as it was, is there a change in heart or a change in trend on our end? And for the most part, we feel that we're at the lower end of the trading range, and we've got opportunities to push the market back up near its highs here as we get through the end of the month.
If that's the case and you believe that they were, what was the reason you believe that they were liquidating those long positions then in cattle and corn?
Well, the sense is that those asset funds, the rules in front of me, but the general consensus is that they have to balance their equity side of the position with their commodity side of the position. And there's a ratio that each individual fund is going to operate under. And if they lose too much money in the equity side or the commodities become too great of a value of the overall portfolio, then they have to rebalance the position.
Then they didn't have a position in soy to eliminate, or they just had a bigger position in corn and
yeah, corn? I think as we've seen the corn open interest in the last 3-4 weeks, it's really kind of exploded versus the other ones, and then of course the same thing has happened with the cattle. You know, we're up almost at this point we're probably a little over 100,000 contracts higher than we were in the first part of February.
At Paul, old crop July beans are trading about 30 cents higher than November new crop. A year ago, it was about $1.25, and I know we do have a little bit more carryout, maybe 100 million more, but it just doesn't seem like farmers have many old crop beans, at least not in our area. They took the advice of the analyst and sold those beans at $10 or thereabouts early, and now they're out of old crop beans. Does this spread have any implications, or is it just going to go out with a whimper?
I think they'll end up looking at August and saying, thank God I did what I did. We've lowered the crush here all of a sudden. We're starting to see Argentina pick up their export program finally. And I think we're going to lose our bean demand here rather quickly. And I think anybody with old crop beans should be heeding the market's warning and respecting the fact that we're, you know, almost a dollar worse this year than we were a year ago. The market's trying to tell us that we do not need the beans from July to November.
Do you believe November beans will hold above $9 very long, or do you think that's short-lived?
I think our situation, we still have to get past some of the critical points in growing the crop. One is finished getting it planted, and at this point, I think we'll continue to hold the market above $9 unless we see some dramatic changes on the export side of things. But we'll probably hold above $9 as we get through to 4th of July weekend, and then as we start to kind of get past some of the major points in the corn, possibly, I think some of the fear of just the total crop growing will start to dissipate, and we'll start to take on some pressure if the weather continues as is. So I look for things to hold together through to 4th of July, but then we're not too positive on the market as we get to the fall.
Paul, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Have a great and safe weekend.
You too. That's Paul Nelson. He's with E. Hedger, and he's the president there in Chicago, Illinois. Now for a final word for our folks right here in studio. We'll start with Greg Johnson of the Andersons.
The old adage is that the corn crop is made in July and the bean crop is made in August. So until we get to that July time frame and see what kind of rainfall we get, this market probably is just stuck in a sideways trading range.
And Chuck Shelby of Risk Management.
Volatility from outside influences, whether it be Europe or oil leaks, all kinds of things that we need to be aware of.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
Added to all those, just to be ready to jump on any bounces up to take advantage of better prices.
Our thanks to the folks in the studio who included Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management, and Greg Johnson of the Andersons, and of course to Paul Nelson of E. Hedger. You've been listening to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.